वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So my manager, Ramachandra Das, has instructed that I speak on Lord Ramachandra. So I spent the morning pulling together some files that I had previously arranged, but I found some new things. So if you're ready to proceed, please chant Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama, Rama.
Rama
Rama. Rama Hare Hare.
Hare.
So we begin at the end. In other words, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami in two chapters gives a synopsis of the Ram Leela. And at the end, he has this nice statement which is meant to encourage you. Listen. Purusho Rama Charitang Shravanair Upadarayan Anrishyangsya Paro Rajan Karma Bandhaya Vimuchyate. O King Parikshit, anyone who orally receives the narrations concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. So that is your benediction just for coming. And I always like to point out, Shukadeva Goswami points out this disease of envy. And envy is the original sin. Even in the Christian Bible, the same concept is there. And Prabhupada's explanation of the fall of the living entity is also due to envy. Now, Prabhupada, in one lecture, said something very nice, why you should hear about Lord Ram. Prabhupada once said, so Ramachandra's life, God's activities, pastimes, if we hear, that means we are associating with Ramachandra. There is no difference between his form, his name, his pastimes, and himself. He is absolute. Therefore, either you chant the holy name of Ram, or you see the statue of Ram, or you talk of his pastimes, transcendental pastimes, everything. That means you are associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we take advantage of these days when the incarnation of God appears or disappears, and we try to associate with him. And by his association, we become purified. Our process is purification. Krishna consciousness means simply we are purifying our consciousness. And where does Prabhupada get that from? First Shikshastakam, first line, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. This whole Krishna consciousness process is a process of cleansing the heart. Everything we do is cleansing the heart. Even prasadam? Yes. Even taking prasadam is cleansing the heart, the easiest process. Sometimes I joke that if I was ever to start my own philosophy, my philosophy would be Etanam. And I would have only one regulation, just take prasad. No other rules, I'd become the most famous Swami in India. Swami Narantananda says, just take prasad, but give money. Now, there's this very famous shloka, which explains something about this name Ram. Everybody say,
Ram.
This is an easy mantra, so please repeat. Ramante yogina anante.
Ramante yogina anante.
Satyanande chid atmani. Iti Rama Padena Asau. Parang Brahma Abhidhiyate. Transcendentalists take pleasure in the unlimited real pleasure which is only found in spiritual existence. Thus, the supreme truth is described by the word Rama. Everybody say,
Rama.
One more time. One more time. And there is that famous statement by Shambhu, Lord Shiva. He's speaking to his wife and he's explaining how he chants the name Ram. And he says that this name of Ram is equal to chanting 1,000 names of God. So this name of Ram, we cannot calculate how powerful it is. And you just chanted it 3 times, yes? And in the Mahabharata, it says that if you chant the name 3 times, Ram, it's equal to 1 utterance of the name Krishna. Everybody say,
Krishna.
So this Maha Mantra is the greatest mantra. Now, is there any kartals? Can I borrow the kartals? Oh, good. No problem. Oh, these are nice. Nice and shiny. Good. They're yours? Oh, you have good taste. Shiny kartals, good. So, this is, we sang the Nisringa prayer, Tavakara Kamalavare. And I see you have written somewhere that that's from the Gita Govinda, Dash Avatar Stotram. So Ram's verse is also in that Dash Avatar Stotram. He's number 7. Vittarasi dik shurane dikpati kamaniyang dashamukamoli Balim Ramaniyam Keshava Dritta Ramashadhira Jajagadisha Hare Jajagadisha Hare Jajagadisha Hare Keshava Dritta Rama Sharira Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare. One more time. Keshavadrita Rama Sharira Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, you have assumed the form of Ramachandra. All glories to you. In the battle of Lanka, you destroyed the 10-headed demon Ravana and distribute his heads as a delightful offering to the presiding deities of the 10 directions headed by Indra. This action was long desired by all of them who were much harassed by this monster. And it's interesting because a week before I came here, I finished my recitation of Ramayana. For the past 3 years, I've been making recordings, audio recordings of the Ramayan. So the week before I got here, I finished. And so the battle scenes are still fresh in my mind. And I know at one point, Ram was shooting arrows at Ravan's heads, and he would destroy them, but then they would pop back up. And then, who was it that told him the secret? Was it Vibhishan?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys know your Ramayana. Maybe we should have a quiz. Vibhishan told him that he had in his heart some nectar. Is that right?
Yeah.
My version, because there's many different versions. So the version I... And that's where he had to shoot the arrow and kill him. He had to destroy that nectar. And then he wouldn't be able to rejuvenate himself. And of course, Ram did do that. He chastised Ravana. He said, "You are like a dog." He said, "Actually, you're like stool." He actually used that word. He called Ravana stool. "You're the stool of the man-eaters. Because in my absence, you stole my wife like a dog would steal the offerings, sacrificial offerings." And then shot the arrow and killed Ravana. Another thing I found interesting, how Ravana sent one son after another to defeat Ram, and each son was slain. Who would do that? Send your own sons to fight for you? And especially the last one. Who was the last son to go? Indrajit. He couldn't believe it when Indrajit was killed. He was completely baffled. So then he decided, "Now I must go. I must fight this Ram." And also it was interesting, I remember, how whenever, whether it was Ravan's sons or other stalwart fighters of the Rakshasas, when they left Lanka, there were all these inauspicious omens. And still, they went out to die. There was always inauspicious, even when Ravan went out, there were all these inauspicious signs that portend, this is it. Just like Kamsa, the night before the wrestling match, Kamsa had horrible dreams. And all the dreams that he had were indicating death. Kamsa, you are going to die. May you never have those kinds of dreams. May you only have dreams of Krishna, Ram, Gaur Nitai. Now, in the Ramayana, in the Yuddhakanda, the war, there's this beautiful statement of Lord Ram. And when you hear this statement, I'm sure that you will have the same conclusion that I always get when I hear this statement. Please repeat, Sakrid Eva, Prapanoyas, Tavasmiti, Chayachate, Abhayang, Sarvada, Tasmai, Dadami, Etad, Vratang Mama. Now, some of you might know Sanskrit, so you already figured out what this verse. Please repeat. Lord Ramachandra said, "It is my vow that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me by saying,
'My dear Lord,
from this day I am yours.
I am yours.
And praise to me for courage.
And praise to me for courage.
I shall immediately award courage.
To that person.
And he or she
will always remain safe
from that time on. So what should be the conclusion? So let's say it. Let's say it. Let's say it three times. My dear Lord,
from this day,
I am yours. So everybody look at Ram while you say that.
My dear Lord,
from this day,
I am yours.
My dear Lord,
from this day,
I am yours. Very good. So what's the benefit? You will get courage and you will remain safe. Here is real insurance, not State Farm, Farmers, no. Here is real insurance. You can thank me later. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. All right. Now, do you ever sing that bhajan, Hey Ram? Do you all know that? Can I sing that? Now, you'll have to excuse me. Hindi is not my native tongue. So try not to laugh at my Hindi, all right? No, I'm telling you reason. One time I did this in a Hindu temple and the ladies were going. So I only do it because I'm trying, okay? In my next life, I will know Hindi, all right? All right, let's do this. Good, I have two drummers, stereo, Jai. Oh, you made it. I'll have to do your song then. That will be the intermission. Hey Ram, Hey Ram.
Hey Ram, Hey Ram.
Hey Ram,
Hey Ram.
Jagame sato terana. Nobody knows it? Hey Ram, Hey Ram. Now don't do it the way the guy does it on the record. Do it my way, okay? I do it simple. Tuhi Mata, Tuhi Pita Hey. Tuhi Mata, Tuhi Pita He. Tuhi To He Radha Ka Syam. Clap your hands. Hey Ram, Hey Ram. Hey Ram, Jaga me sato tero na. Hey Ram, Hey Ram. Tu antaryami Shabaka Swami. Tu Antaryami Shabaka Swami. Tere Charano Me Charana. Hey Ram, Hey Ram. Hey Ram, jag me sacho tera naam. Hey Ram, hey Ram. Tu hi bigade, tu hi savare. Gade, tu hi sabare. Isse jaga ke sare kaam. Hey Ram, hey Ram. Hey Ram, hey jag me sacho tera naam. Hey Ram, hey Ram. Tu hi jagadata vishva vidhata. Tu hi jagadata vishva vidhata. Tu hi subaho, tu hi shaam. Hey Ram, hey Ram. Hey Ram, jaga me sacho tera naam. Hey Ram, hey Ram. Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram. Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Jai Ram, hey Ram. Hey Ram, hey Ram. Sita Ram, Jaya Sita 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 Ram. Hey Ram, hey Ram. Hey Ram, hey Ram. All the children sing. All the children. One, two, three. Hey, children. More children. Are you a children? Louder. I don't hear you. One more. Ladies. Men. Everybody. One more time. Ram, He Ram. In this world, your name is the truth. You are the mother and the father, and you are Srimati Radharani's Syam. You are the super soul and the world's controller. Within your lotus feet is contained the three worlds. It is you who gives distress. You are the one who gives happiness. All activities are handled by you. You are the Supreme Lord of the universe. Every morning starts with you. Every night ends with you. He Ram, He Ram. All right, so that's part one. We have three parts. So now, we're going to understand Lord Ram by hearing from his greatest devotee servant. Who is that?
Hanuman.
This is called the Hanuman Stotram. It is found in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And what Hanuman says in seven slokas is very, very nice. Shukadeva Goswami says, my dear king. So who is the king he's talking to?
Pariksit.
Yes, Pariksit. In Kim Purusha Varsha, the great devotee Hanuman is always engaged with the inhabitants of that land in devotional service to Lord Ramachandra, who is the elder brother of
Lakshman
and dear husband of a host of Gandharvas. Is always engaged in chanting the glories of Lord Ramachandra, for that chanting is always extremely auspicious. Hanumanji and the chief person in Kim Purusha Varsha, known as Ashtashena, constantly hear those glories with complete attention. That's key. When we're chanting, when we're praying, when we're reading, it should be with rapt attention. Hanuman chants the following mantras. I'm only doing the English, not the Sanskrit. Let me please my lordship by chanting the bead mantra Omkar. So let's do that. Everybody get like a yogi, okay? And we'll chant Om. See how long we can hold it. I'm not very good at this, so I'm sure you'll beat me. Are you ready? One, two, three. Excellent. Very good. Very good. Don't you feel transcendental right now? So nice. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, who is the best among the most highly elevated personalities. So that was Lord Ram. You cannot find a better person. Your lordship is the reservoir of all good qualities of Aryans, people who are advanced. Prabhupada explains Aryan in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, because Krishna said to Arjuna, Anaryajushtam, you are not behaving like an Aryan. An Aryan is somebody who knows the value of life. Ravana was not an Aryan, because all Ravana cared about was what? His own sense gratification. Whereas Ram, he cared for everybody. He was never thinking of himself. Why did he go to the forest? Only to keep the word and honor of his father. Ram had no attraction. And though you read in the Ramayana, so many personalities, they tried to convince Ram, come back. And they gave excellent arguments. Bharat tried, some Rishi tried, so many people tried to sway Ram. And their arguments were very valid. But Ram said, no, I must make true the vow of my father. So Ram, there's no selfishness in Ram. He simply wants to act as the ideal, the best. So he is the real Aryan Acharya. If you follow in the footsteps of Ram, you cannot imitate. But following in the footsteps means his example. Then you will become a great human being. Hanuman continues, your character and behavior are always consistent. This we find lacking in today's politicians. They're not consistent. They'll say and do whatever that will get them votes. Today they're on this side, then tomorrow they flip-flop. They're all guilty of this. Democrat, Republican. They're both guilty. Yeah, I said exactly what I said. One day they're for something, then tomorrow, oh, the poll numbers are down, I'm for it. But Ram is consistent. He's consistent because he only is interested in the truth. And you always control your senses and mind. Yes. When Sita, Ram, and Lakshman were in the forest, it was not palace life. You remember, one of the mothers, it might have been Kaushalya, was very concerned that Sita should not go to the forest because she was used to the comforts of palace life. How is she going to exist in the harsh realities of the forest? But they were very happy in Chitrakoot, were they not? They were very, very happy living, simple. Ram actually was enjoying the nice, simple forest life. So his senses, always under control. Acting just like an ordinary human being. That's the key word. Like. Was Ram an ordinary human being? No. Who is he? God. Can the human being become God? Thank you. Somebody said no, very strong. That was you? Very good. Can the living being ever become God?
No.
I see that you are all advanced. There is no Mayavad philosophy in this room. Very good. So, Ram appeared in the human form, but that doesn't mean he was human. He's still God. And he behaved He acted. That's even a better word. He acted. Just like somebody in, when you did your drama last Sunday, right? Was it Sunday or Saturday? Saturday. So you are playing those roles. That's not how you are. If you acted like that in your home, your wife would go, "Who is this madman?" See, Gorni Chai Kijai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Kijai, Nathji Gopalji Kijai, Bhakta Prahlad Nisinga Bhagavan Kijai. Yes, you were acting. So, same way, Ram, Sita is actually Lakshmi Ji, and she's acting in this role as Sita. Acting just like an ordinary human being, you exhibit exemplary character to teach others how to behave. That is what we call acharya. An acharya is one who teaches other by their example. That was Prabhupada. Everything Prabhupada asked us, his disciples, to do, he himself was doing. Getting up early, chanting 16 rounds, worshiping the deity, preaching, cooking, cleaning, all the things he asked us to do, he was the one who taught us. In the beginning, actually, Prabhupada showed the first devotee women how to wear sari. He was teaching everything, how to clean, how to cook, how to do it. Us Malachini Yavanas didn't know anything. Prabhupada was so compassionate. He taught us everything by his example. There is a touchstone that can be used to examine the quality of gold. But you are like a touchstone that can verify all good qualities. In other words, if you want to judge someone, use Ram as the standard. How does such a person stack up character-wise with Ram? Do they follow in that same line? Truth, integrity, honesty, austerity. Do they have those qualities? You are worshipped by Brahmins, who are the foremost of all devotees. You are the Supreme Person and the King of Kings. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, King of Kings. In other words, there may be many, many kings, but Ram, he's the ideal. He is the king by which all other kings can be compared to. That is Lord Ram. Number two, the Lord, whose pure form, Sat Chid Ananda Vigraha. Everybody say, uncontaminated by the modes of material nature. No, it's all right. That's good. That means I have your attention. Very good. Very good. Can be perceived by pure consciousness. Yes. People sometimes ask, can you show me God? I will believe in God when he shows himself to me. But the answer is, so you will believe in God when he reveals himself to you. So now the question is, are you prepared to live the life which will reveal God to you? It's not that God is going to show up on your cell phone with a selfie. God is not going to appear on the late night television show or at the halftime of the Super Bowl, Stupid Bowl. No. God appears on his terms. That's like, you can't say, all right, I will vote for Hillary Clinton, but she has to come to my house and take prasad. Sorry. So, For God to be realized, you have to be willing to take the process by which that can happen. And he reveals that to you through the teachings of Ram. In the Bhagavad Gita, it's very clear. So here it says, can be perceived by pure consciousness. So that's why Lord Chaitanya's first instruction, Cheto Darpanam Marjanam, cleanse the consciousness. Then you can see God, not otherwise. He is described in the Vedanta as being one without a second. That's another definition of God. God cannot be two. God is one. Yes, there are many manifestations, incarnations of God, but they're all one. For instance, once when Ram was in the Dandaka forest, some rishis, sages approached him. They were highly self-realized. And they approached Ram saying, we know who you are. We want to experience Madhurya Ras with you. But Ram said, in this incarnation, I have taken a vow. Eka Patni Vrat. One wife. Krishna had how many? 16,108 only. Renunciation. But Ram said, in this incarnation, I've taken a vow, one wife. Then he said, when I come again, then your desire will be fulfilled. So those sages that approached him, they were promoted during the Krishna Leela and appeared as gopis. And they were promoted to that status of enjoying Madhurya Ras with Krishna. During the night of the Rasa dance, there were three different groups of gopis. One of them were these sages who approached Ram in the forest. So Ram and Krishna are one. God is not two. He's one. Just as Nisringa is God. We celebrated last Saturday. So he is also one God. So don't let these Westerners out here, they misunderstand and they think, oh, you Hindus, you are polytheistic. No. Don't let them say that. You're not polytheistic. You're monotheistic. You believe in one God. Yes. Because of his spiritual potency, he is untouched by the contamination of material nature. Yes. To think that God, when he comes to earth, becomes contaminated by the material nature, that's atheism. That means material nature is stronger than God, or the devil is more powerful than God. No. God comes, he looks like a human being, he may behave like a human being, but still he's untouched. Because he is not subjected to material vision, he is known as transcendental. He has no material activities. So yes, even though he's in the forest, even though he's killing and doing so many things, these are not material activities. Same way with Krishna. When Krishna is a baby, is he God? Yes. So whether he's killing Putana, or wrestling with the cowherd boys, or dancing with the gopis, or washing the feet of Sudama Brahman, whatever Krishna does, transcendental. It looks, that's the key, it looks mundane. But it's not. Same thing for you. An outsider sees you cleaning the floor, cutting vegetables, doing all kinds of activities, they may say, this is not spiritual. No, it is spiritual because it's devotional service. We're doing these activities for God. Therefore, it's not material. Even You're going out trying to collect funds for the new temple. Even that is transcendental. Don't have any doubts about it. And the money that's donated, that's also transcendental. That's why Prabhupada used to say, not even one farthing can be spent for sense gratification. All the funds collected have to be used for the construction of the temple. So everything that goes on in this temple is a transcendental spiritual activity. This is what we learn in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 4. That the sacrifice, the thing that's offered, the person who is offering, is all transcendental. Do not think that these activities are material. Never think like that. We are doing spiritual activities. Lord Ramachandra has no material activities, neither does he have a material form or name. So that form of Ram was also transcendental. Ravana thought what? That Ram was what? That's right. That's why he didn't hesitate to fight Ram. What do I care about a human being? In fact, Ravan was so puffed up, he didn't even take that benediction from Brahma. He said, human beings? No, that was his mistake. Two mistakes. He didn't ask for a boon for protection from humans and animals. So what happened? Ram appeared as a? And the demigods appeared as? There you go. Hubris. Ravan, you have no one to blame for your downfall other than yourself. Your own ego and pride. And so many people warned him. So many. His father-in-law, his brothers, so many people warned Ravan, don't give Sita back, give Sita back. Time after time after time he was warned. But Ravan couldn't do it. Too attached to that Sita. Ravan had, not only did he have a very chaste wife, he had a harem. He was enjoying every night different women. But he had to have Sita. Because Shrupanaka, what did she say? Oh, this Sita. You have never seen anyone like this. So his lust became like a fire that consumed him. Yes, I will carry off this consort of an insignificant man. Silly Ravan. Silly Ravan. Would have been fine. He had his kingdom. He had his benediction. But that's the problem with lust. It is never satisfied. Burns like fire. That's why the scriptures, Bhagavad Gita and others, tell us, control the senses. Control lust. Otherwise, it gets out of hand, you're finished. Only in pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can one perceive the transcendental form of the Lord. Let us be firmly fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra, and let us offer our respectful obeisances unto those transcendental lotus feet. Sri Ram Bhagavan Ki. Yeah. Number 3. It was ordained. This again, who's speaking these verses? Hanuman. Is there a better authority than Hanuman?
No.
You could say Valmiki, but other than that, anybody better? Hanuman, so whatever he says, pakka. It was ordained that Ravan, chief of the Rakshasas, could not be killed by anyone but a man. And for this reason, Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared in the form of a human being. Now, listen to what Hanuman says now. Don't shoot the messenger. This is Hanuman. If you don't like what Hanuman says now, discuss it with him. Okay? So this is what Hanuman says. Lord Ramachandra's mission, however, was not only to kill Ravana, but also to teach mortal beings. Are we mortal beings? Yes. But to teach mortal beings that material happiness surrounded by sex life or centered around one's wife is the cause of many miseries. He is the self-sufficient Supreme Personality of Godhead, and nothing is lamentable for him. Prabhupada comments several times that when Ravana stole Sita, Ramachandra could have said, all right, what's one Sita? Ram could have manifested 1,000 Sitas. What's one Sita? Like a mustard seed. You buy a bag of mustard seeds. When you open the bag, some are bound to fill on the floor, but you got a whole bag. What do you care? Or tapioca, right? They're so small, some fall on the floor. It's like... So Ram could have created 1,000,000 Sitas. But no. Prabhupada points out, Ram was teaching us a lesson, men. You have a wife, you have to protect. You have to, ladies, you like what I'm saying? You have to protect. You have to do everything and take care of the wife. Not that, it's all right, I'm getting another one. No. You take a wife, it's heavy responsibility. You will grow up. Listen carefully. Yes, unless you become sannyasi. You want to be a sannyasi? Where's your father? Does he know you want to be a sannyasi? Are you going to tell him? Oh, okay. So, having a wife, so Ram did everything to teach that you must give full protection to the wife. That's the duty of the husband. There is nothing lamentable for him. Therefore, why else could he be subjected to the so-called tribulations by the kidnapping of Mother Sita? In other words, this episode of Ram, the stealing of Sita, and Ram feeling separation is happening on two planes. So one plane is the material side, but actually in reality, this whole separation of Sita from Ram is actually a transcendental exchange of love called Vipralamba. It is the highest spiritual ecstasy where the spirit transcendental male and female, Ram and Sita, are supposedly separated and they are feeling intense separation. And that intense separation is the highest ecstasy on the transcendental platform. On the material plane, when we're separated from our loved ones, it causes us great pain. Say we have a loved one and they die. That causes us great pain in our heart. It's not transcendental. Or when the husband has to go away for a long time, or ladies, you will experience when your daughter or son goes away to college and is gone, you will feel separation. On the material side, there is anxiety. But in the spiritual plane, even though it looks like there's anxiety, it looks like Ram and Sita are lamenting, it looks like they're suffering, but actually it's transcendental bliss. We cannot understand that. Why? We're still on the material platform. But this is how the self-realized souls like Shukadev, Hanuman, and others are presenting. Help us understand that even it looks like Ram is crying. Sita! Sita! It looks like he's crying. Actually, it's ecstasy. Doesn't make sense. But that's how to understand. When Sita's in the Ashoka Grove and the Rakshasis are tormenting her, when Ravan is threatening that if you don't surrender within 1 year, I will cut you up and eat you for my breakfast. So she's externally feeling anxiety externally, but actually she's experiencing transcendental bliss. And no matter what Ravana says, Sita refuses. Never. And remember, when Hanuman entered the palace, remember he entered Lanka as a small cat-sized monkey. And that's how he was able to get in. And then he went through the different parts of the palaces. And he finally entered Ravana's bedchamber. And Ravana was snoring with his 10 heads. That must be a loud sound. And he saw all these ladies. There had been a big love fest. And Hanuman was thinking, no, that can't be Sita. Sita would have given up her life before giving up to Ravan. So Hanuman knew. Then he found Sita in the Ashoka Grove. But Hanuman knew Sita would never surrender to Ravana. Number 4. Since Lord Sri Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, everybody say, he is not attached to anything in this material world. Man, I am doing good. I have you. Excellent. He is the most beloved super soul. Ram is in our hearts. Oh my God. And he is their very intimate friend. He is full of all opulences. Therefore, he could not have possibly suffered because of separation from his wife, nor could he have given up his wife and Lakshman, his younger brother. To give up either would have been absolutely impossible. One cannot establish a friendship with the Supreme Lord Ramachandra on the basis of material qualities. None of any material qualities is a qualification or a prerequisite for friendship with Lord Sri Ram. So if he gives a list. Say, Ram, I'm born in an aristocratic family. Therefore, I want your friendship. Nope. Ram, I am very beautiful. Didn't Shurpanakh turn herself to look very beautiful? Didn't she do that? But did Ram accept Shurpanakha? No, he toyed with her. One sharp intelligence or superior race or nation? No, these don't impress Ram. Hanuman says, otherwise, how is it possible that although we uncivilized inhabitants of the forest have not taken noble births, and although we have no physical beauty, and we cannot speak like gentlemen, Lord Ramachandra has nevertheless accepted us as friends. Think about it. When Ram went back to Ayodhya, who came with him? The monkeys all came. Isn't that amazing? Everybody came to Ayodhya. Did Vibhishan go? He had to stay, but didn't he at least come for some time? He did come. Yeah, why would he get left out? He was a big part. He did a lot of service. So, Hanuman continues, therefore, whether one is a demigod or a demon, a man or a creature other than a man, such as a beast or bird. What bird got Ram's friendship? Jatayu. So even you're a bird. Everyone should worship Lord Ramachandra, who appears on this earth just like a human being. There is no need of great austerities or penances to worship the Lord, for he accepts even a small service offered by his devotee. Was it a squirrel that helped building the bridge? So did Ram accept that service? Thus, Lord Ram is satisfied. And as soon as he is satisfied, the devotee is successful. Indeed, Lord Ramachandra brought all the devotees of Ayodhya back home, back to Godhead. Because Ram has his own spiritual planet. Just like Krishna has his planet, Ram has Ayodhya Loka in the spiritual world. And those who are pure Ram Bhaktas, you can go there just by worshiping Ram. As for me, I want to go to Krishna Loka. But I have met pure Ram Bhaktas in my life. I met one maybe 15 years ago. He was a pure Ram Bhakta. I was very pleased to meet him. Should I sing a song?
Yes.
Okay.